God, we just come to you this morning. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy that is new every morning. Father, we thank you that you died on a cross for us so many years ago. You desired a relationship with us, God, and we thank you. And God, you want to speak to us. You want to mold us. You want to change us. You want us to grow. And God, this morning, as we listen to your word, Father, we pray that you would just give us ears to hear this morning what you would want each of us to hear. Father, for some, there's going to be a little bit of a different word. For others, there's a little bit. But God, I just thank you that you are so personal and you'll speak to us each individually as we allow you and we open our hearts to you. And so, God, let us now open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to receive from you this morning. And God, give us the courage that we will need to walk out the things that you call us to as a result of your word. And so we pray these things now in the name of Jesus. Amen. The lie that holds you hostage. What do you think of when I say the word hostage? Well, to me, it conjures up images of hijackers on a plane. I'm not sure how old I was, but I remember seeing some hijackers on the news that were holding some people hostage. The other thing I think of when I think of the word hostage is I think of probably a movie where the bad guy is in a bank and he's been robbing a bank and everything goes wrong. And so his last ditch effort to try and get out of the bank, he decides that he's going to hold everyone in the bank hostage. And as we've all seen hostage situations play out on the news, one thing remains true of each of the hostages. And that is that they don't want to be there. They want their freedom. Now, you and I, we may never find ourselves in a physical hostage situation, but the truth is that all of us at one point have been or are being held hostage with other things. And at times, we don't even realize the things that are holding us hostage. Things like bitterness, anger, addictions, worry. And they can hold us as a prisoner. And this morning, I would like to speak about being held hostage, and specifically about being held hostage in our mind, and the lie that we tell ourselves, and maybe more importantly, the lie that we believe. How many times have you said things like, I need to change. I'm going to change. I need to be free of these things like anger, or bitterness, or lust. I need to be free of this. I've been hanging on to it forever. And if you were like most of us here, there comes a time when we kind of get fed up with these things. When we begin to take a stand against them. And we say enough is enough. We say today is the day, change is now, only to fail. And so not to give up, we try again. And we try again and we fail. And again, we try and we fail. When we start to begin thinking, who am I kidding? I've been this way my whole life, and I will continue this way till the day I meet Jesus. Change becomes a pipe dream. We resign ourselves to the idea that this is just the way I am. You see, I believe that we have a spiritual enemy, and that spiritual enemy, Satan, wants to keep us in prison. And whatever it is that you struggle with in your life, if he can keep you believing the lie, he will have you exactly where he wants you, a hostage. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. If you don't, it's all right. We have it up on the screen there. But it says this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." The weapons that we fight with have divine power. They have God's power. They are not the same as the kind of weapons that the world uses. These weapons have divine power, God's power, to demolish strongholds. The word that is used here for strongholds is the word okuroma. It's a Greek word which very literally means to fortify, a strong castle, a prisoner locked by deception, a hostage to lies. Let me ask you right now where you sit. What lies might be holding you hostage? Maybe a lie that you will never change. Maybe that God can't really use you. Maybe that you are not good enough. That God couldn't actually love you because of what you've done or how maybe you perceive to have let him down. And we could spend a year, probably the better part of a year here this morning, talking about all the collective lies that we have believed or are believing and sort of dissect each one. We could probably walk through and look at all the truth of the scripture and what God actually says and sort of go through those lies. But today I want to focus just on one lie. A lie that I think is at the root of many of the things that we allow to hold us hostage. A lie that we may not even realize we are believing. And that if we could just deal with this root lie, I believe that we would begin to see some significant change and difference in our lives. And the lie is this: God can't change me. Do you see yourself in that? As much as I try, I can't maybe stop losing my temper. I can't stop losing my temper with my kids or my wife. I just can't. I can't stop taking these pills. I know I used them a long time ago from an accident, but I just can't stop it. I can't stop worrying about my financial future. I can't control the things that come out of my mouth. I can't stop. I've tried to stop. I've made covenants with God that I'm going to change, that I'm going to change, but I can't, and I end up failing. And so what that proves is that I cannot change. Have you ever found yourself in that place or that cycle of failure, guilt, promises? Failure, guilt, promises. And round we go. And eventually we come to the thought that says, this is just the way I am. And maybe you've struggled with something for so long that you've just believed this. This is just the way I am. And if we have, then we've bought the lie. The lie that says God cannot change me. Because if he could, we may reason, wouldn't he have done it already? I mean, if God could just come along and change me, why wouldn't he? We ask ourselves these questions and then we end up coming to the conclusion, well, that's just the way I am, I guess. And the way I will remain until the end of my days. But there are some great problems with this lie, though. You see, because to believe this lie means that we have to reject the Bible's truth. Like Philippians 1:6, it's not on the screen, I just wanted to allude to it today, but which says that he who began a good work in us is going to be faithful to complete it. That you are a work in progress. We have to deny the lie that says God's got a plan and a purpose for my life. One of the verses that you've heard me talk many times about, Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Another translation says that we are God's masterpiece. The word there that is used for masterpiece or handiwork is poema, which kind of goes to like a piece of artwork or a poem. But it's not just a piece of artwork or a poem for art or a poem's sake. There's a purpose to it. There's a reason to it. And you are God's masterpiece. And it's not just because he thought it would be nice. There's a purpose and a reason for your existence. You need to know that. And you need to believe that, because if we don't believe the truth, there is an enemy waiting to fill your minds with his own ideas, which are not true. The Bible actually calls him the father of lies. And if you are held hostage by this lie today, you need to know something. If you think that you can never change, you need to know this. If you think that I was always this way before I got saved, I will be this way forever, this is just who I am, you need to know something. If you think I can never change and God cannot change me, and you are a child of God, you need to know that he has already changed you. You are changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here." The old is gone, done, does not exist anymore. Essentially, you are free, no longer held hostage anymore. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, it says in the book of John. You might look at me and say, you know, I still struggle though. You say I'm free, I don't feel free. And my actions are not the actions of someone who is free. So I'm not so sure about your claim, Marcel. You say I'm changed, my actions say something else. Okay, well, here's the best way I think that I can describe it as I was thinking about this whole thing. In 1862, Abraham Lincoln put something into place called the Emancipation Proclamation. And essentially what it did was say to all the slaves that you are now free. And if you worked in the White House at that time, you worked on this thing, you might leave as that sort of came into play and you said, yeah, the slaves are free. Maybe high-fiving each other as you go out and you go up for dinner to celebrate. It's gone through, this is fantastic. And you might think, oh, now we're done. There was a lot of things, though, that just begun as a result of that. The first one that I think is, well, what are the slaves going to do now? A lot of them didn't know how to read or write. They didn't necessarily have skills that they were able to make a living with. And who was going to hire them even if they did? That was a very physical hurdle that they had to face. They also had to face a mental hurdle. And that is that this is all I've ever known. My father was a slave. I'm a slave. I mean, what am I going to do out there anyway? I'm probably just going to die. Therefore, I will stay here. So some chose that. Some chose to remain as slaves, essentially because they knew no other life. Were they free? Yeah, they were free. They were free men and women, but they put themselves into slavery because that's all they knew. Sometimes because of fear or whatever reason, some of the slaves remained slaves even though they were free. And you and I can do that too. I want you to know something. Christ did not set us free so that we could go back into that life of slavery. Galatians 5:1 says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go there again. God does not want you to remain in that life. Ephesians 2:10 says that God has a plan for you as we went over. He has a destiny for you. He has designed you with a purpose and a plan. And staying in a hostage situation is not it. And so this morning, if you are a person who is believing that lie now, and the truth is that you are free and a new creation, I need to ask you, how then do we then fight through that lie? Because those slaves that were free had a lot of fighting to do to get through the lies that they probably believed or thought. Or maybe their old masters fed them. They had a lot of things to get through. They were free people, but they had to go through that. And how do we fight through the lie that God cannot change you? How do you fight through the lie that says this is just the way I am and I will never be all that God has destined me to be? Well, this morning, I think there are a few things, and I think these things are just the beginning of some a step to begin to hack away at this root. And the first thing is this: capture our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now remember, this verse comes directly on the heels of our text. We just had finished reading 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, and now this is 2 Corinthians 10:5. And so this comes right after they're talking about divine power to demolish strongholds. Listen, the truth of this is we are fed things all day long. Some we are aware of and some we are not. Through advertising, TV, radio, people at work, family, teachers, internet, books. We have a constant barrage of things coming at us things speaking into our lives. We add into the mix the things that were spoken into our lives and happened in our lives in the past that shape us into the people we are today. And I'll tell you, we got a lot of things to deal with, don't we? We do. And the Bible says that we are, when we're fighting against strongholds in chapter 4, or when we find ourselves a prisoner locked by deception, we start with taking every thought captive. Every thought. Good thought? Yeah, good thought. Why a good thought, you might say? Well, sometimes there are good thoughts, but they're in the wrong timing, right? Godly thoughts, yes. Bad thoughts, yes. Every thought. Nothing gets by. We allow nothing to settle into the recesses of our minds or our hearts until something happens. We dare make them obedient to Christ. So we get a lie that's spoken into our heads that God cannot change me, that I will never be free of that, that things will never change. And we take it captive. And then we line it up with Scripture. What does Scripture say? What does the truth of Christ say? Well, as we talked about already, God has a plan for me. Scripture said that God is working on me. Now I have to make a choice. What do I do with that? Do I reject the lie? And I think almost as equally important as rejecting the lie is absorbing the truth. And so we take captive the lie and we accept Christ's truth. We're going to try this real quick. You don't have to get up. But I want you to right now, whatever you're thinking, whatever it is, take the thought captive. Doesn't matter. Maybe it's, you know, when is this guy going to stop talking, or this guy's boring. Oh, my goodness. Maybe it's what you're going to make for dinner this week. How am I going to help my kids finish their science projects? That's maybe where I'd be if I was where you are now, thinking about these things. I don't know what your thought is right now, but take it captive right now. Just take it captive. And I want you to submit it to the truth. Let's say you're thinking about dinner or your menu this week. But God's wanted to talk to you about something really important from his word. And the enemy wants to distract you. And so you take that thought captive and you submit it to the truth. You see, thinking about your menu, that's a good thought. It's a good thing, you know, especially if you have a family, you got to prepare. You know what happens if you don't prepare? It becomes chaos in your house. Chaotic in your house means snappy parents. Snappy parents mean unhappy children. Then the thing goes on and on, right? So it's a good thought, but the timing is not right. And maybe God wants to speak to you now. God wants to speak to me. So I'm going to throw out the thought of my mind and focus right now on God's word. Because maybe I'm stuck in a place right now in my life and the enemy is just coming in and trying to distract me. Now, the other thing about this is that we have to know God's word, God's truth, to be able to do this. So I want to really encourage you to get into God's word. You need to know his word to know the truth. Think about it. If we have no truth coming into us all week long, and we have constant lies and distractions coming into our life, how are we going to fight through the lies of the enemy with truth? We can't. What truths of Christ can you line up to your captive thoughts? Oh, we take the thought captive. Now what? Oh, I don't know. So we just got a bunch of captive thoughts in our minds now, and we don't really know what to do with them. So we take our thoughts captive. Then what? We need to know the truth. I want to challenge you this morning to get on some reading plan. Something where you're ingesting the word of God, the truth of Christ, the truth of Scripture into your lives and into your heart. And if you don't know of any type of program, I'll give you one if you want. I've got some. But, you know, Owen, he's talked about some before. He called it doing your tens. If you've been here for a while, you've heard of that probably. But 10 minutes in the Word, if you're a new Christian, maybe just starting, I say jump on the book of John and just read for 10 minutes a day. Make a little mark, pick it up the next day. Keep doing that. You'll be amazed, amazed. Sound like an infomercial, right? Just 10 minutes a day. Exercise. But in a lot of ways, yeah, you will see 10 minutes reading the Scripture, 10 minutes of praying to God and laying your heart before God. and allowing him to speak to you. And 10 minutes of doing a bit of journaling and saying, just journaling your thoughts. You will be amazed at what begins to happen. You know, the enemy doesn't come and just sort of give you one giant lie. I'm the devil, worship me. And we just say, no, you know, that'll be that, right? It's little lies that come in. It's little consistent over time. Consistency over time is an amazing thing. You put the word of God consistently over time into your life, you will be amazed at what you see. Don't make your goals unrealistic. I'm going to read an hour and a half every day. Usually we just end up failing, getting discouraged, and stopping. The most important thing is make it consistent. All right, we're going to move on. Number two, speak truth. Now notice I didn't say that we're going to think about truth, even though that is important, even as we talked a bit about that in our last point. But we need to speak the truth. Our words have more power than we realize. Actually, look at Proverbs 18:21. It says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That's really extreme language. The things that come out of my mouth have the power of life and death, and you will eat the fruit of either one. I think all too often we speak our way to our own defeat. I will always, I can't, I'll never. And in speaking things that go against the truth, we give power to a lie. And giving power to a lie leads to a life of bondage, imprisonment to a lie. And so as we capture the thoughts, it's important to speak the truth into them. But again, you need to know the truth. And if you're humming along, you've got a great plan that you're reading the Bible, you're putting God's word into your life every day, I challenge you to take it to the next step. Start memorizing some scripture. Memorizing the truth and speaking it out. A lot of times I have to speak things out, and it helps me a lot, the truth of scripture. Because sometimes I can get afraid. Sometimes fear has this funny way of sort of gripping you. I can get afraid of what's going to happen to my family or what's going to happen to this. You know, a lot of things, nothing happens at all, right? But fear is not always logical. And so sometimes fear can really grip me. And so I go back to the scripture, the God, I say out loud, you have not given me a spirit of fear. You haven't. And I say it again. I say, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear. You have not given me a spirit of fear. And I won't let that hold me. I won't let that dictate my life. I won't be afraid of that. You know, public speaking was one of my biggest fears growing up. I could have just laid down and died if you would ask me to do that. Actually, I would have rather laid down and died. But at the same time, I felt God leading me in his direction. And I could have let my fear, what I thought about myself, what I thought about my ability to dictate what I did. But I needed to speak the truth in my own life about who I really was. And there are times when I still need to do that. I need to do that often. And a lot of times you will not feel like the truth is truth, but it still needs to be spoken. Like, let's say you struggle with alcohol, and you promise God a million times that you would never get drunk again. And you do. And you don't feel like you deserve to be forgiven or loved. But the truth is, you are loved. The truth is, God has already forgiven you. And you need to speak those out. You need to speak out, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. There is something so powerful about verbalizing the truth, especially when you're at a place in your life when you don't feel like those things are true. Because I tell you, your enemy wants to hold you hostage. He really does. But there is great power in the spoken word. And it's not just one time every day I'll get up and say one little thing and that'll be it. Speaking the truth into our life. And I'm not talking about just speaking something into existence like, you know, ladies, my husband looks like Brad Pitt. My husband looks like Brad Pitt. Oh, it didn't work. Well, maybe in your case. My case. No, kidding. Okay, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about speaking out day after day, verbalizing your agreement with God. And after time, you will begin to see what God sees. Day after day, you speak truth, and you will give power to truth. You speak lie, you give power to lie. Speak truth, we give power to truth. And I guarantee you, you will begin to see change. And it may not be right away, which brings me to my next point and last point this morning. Don't give up. I was listening to a guy talk about this very thing last week, about this idea of not giving up. And I think in our world, at least in our Western world, we have no idea what it means to fight through things like this. We want results so quickly. Everything is so fast. We need immediate results. I just got rid of my cell phone 3 months ago. My wife kind of rolls her eyes at me. Because my cell phone, it was getting slow. Therefore, I needed another one because I had to wait an extra 3 seconds for it to load a program, right? So, I mean, this phone was light years beyond the phone I had before that. But my culture, the way I live, the way things are, everything is so instant. I need instant gratification right away, instant always. And so this idea of fighting through something can be kind of foreign to us, some of us. But battling through this, it's not always quick. It takes time. It takes what the Bible calls perseverance. You see, often we have believed the lie for a long time. More often than not, he doesn't come in and just sort of snap his fingers and everything's great. And I think the reason he doesn't come in and just snap his fingers and make everything great is really because of what we get out of walking through these battles. Is so much more valuable than just an instant touch. Oh, an instant touch would be a lot easier. But as we walk through these battles, we get to know the character of God. We get to know the love of God. We get to know the mercy and grace of God, the forgiveness of God. We get to know God's character. We learn to trust him. We learn how he sees us. It's so powerful. When we receive that instant touch, which is great, and I pray that some, you know, we can get that at times. But if you have to walk through that battle, what you'll get out of it is an amazing thing. In Colossians 1, 29-1, Paul is talking to the church there, and he says, "To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy." Listen, it's not our energy we're going to walk through this thing. It's not your willpower that you're going to try and make this thing happen. If I just grit my teeth and bear it enough. Paul says it's with all of his energy, God's energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all you who have not met me personally. And he struggles for them. The word that they use here for struggling is a Greek word that we get our root word agonize from. But it's not just a struggle for struggling's sake. It comes with sort of an intention that we struggle with a purpose. There's a purpose behind this struggle. To agonize is to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary and win. Make no mistake, this is not an easy process. It takes determination to look to what God really says, especially when we do not feel like it. Our emotions go up and down, sometimes depending on what's going on in the day, what we've encountered, the weather, our sleep. There's so many things that play with our emotions and what we feel. The truth of Scripture is still truth. And we need to align ourselves and agree with it and speak out the truth of God in our lives. Unfortunately, many of us get taken hostage by the lie of the enemy that this is who you are and God cannot change you. The truth is God has already changed you. But the father of lies still tries to hold you captive, still tries to hold you hostage. So this morning, take captive every thought. Make it obedient to Christ. The lies that he tries to pour into your life about your self-worth, about your identity, take them captive. Take them hostage. Then continue to speak truth. Agree with God out loud with his truth. You speak lie, give power to a lie. Speak truth, give power to truth. And don't give up. Keep going. And the relationship that you will have with the Lord when you come through to victory will be worth every trial, every agonizing struggle. So where do we go from here? If you're a person that is really trying to deal with this, I really want to encourage you to consider a program that we have at our church called Celebrate Recovery. And I know a lot of us might think that it's just maybe about drugs and alcohol, but it's about everything in our lives like that, that we just struggle with these lies sometimes. And we've struggled with them for a long time. And this is a great place with people that will love you and help you walk through fighting and battling this lie in your life. And some of the effects that the lies we have believed have taken in our lives. And maybe though this morning you're at a place where you don't even know the one that can set you free. I want you to know that he wants you to know him. He knows you really well. And he wants you to know him. And I'd love to introduce you to him. And I know one of the prayer people that will be here after the service would love to as well. And if you would like to know more about that, I'd love to share with you about that. But maybe you're at a place where you say, you know, I want that right now. I want to know this Jesus. I want to be introduced to Jesus. And I want to pray with you right now about that. And if you want that, just pray this prayer with me. And that begins, it's like a starting point. It's kind of like the gun going off in a race and we're starting and it's a wonderful thing. And then I want to pray also for those of you that are believers that maybe you have been believing this lie, that God can't change me, that this is just the way I am. And I want to pray that you would know the freedom that Christ has given you. Let's pray. This prayer this morning, first, is just for those of you don't know Jesus and you want to know him. Father, I heard this morning that when you set people free, we're free. And Father, you died on a cross for my freedom, that Satan would no longer have a hold on me. And so this morning, I want to accept your sacrifice, your payment for my freedom. And I do that now. And I thank you. And Lord, now as leader of my life, as savior of my life, would you direct me? Lord, may I not run in any direction, but only towards you. Keep my path straight, Lord, as I begin this race. Direct me to people who would encourage me, my faith, and help me to grow in ways so I could know you more deeply. So, Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice, and I thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I come to you too on behalf of this church. And God, I thank you for this church. They're good brothers and sisters here. Lord Jesus, you said in your word that as we had said, prayed and talked, Lord, already, that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be bound by this yoke of slavery anymore. And so, God, I thank you for the freedom that you paid that we could have. And God, my prayer for each person in this church is that we would be able to walk in this freedom that you have paid for us, God. Lord, that we would no longer be held captive or held hostage by the lies of the enemy. God, we acknowledge that there is a real live enemy that wants to hold us hostage. And God, this week, by your power, Lord Jesus, we will step out. We will take our thoughts captive. We will submit them to the truth of Christ. We will speak the truth of God into our lives. And not by our own power, but by yours, we will not give up. We will put one foot in front of the other, and we will continue to look to you, God, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So God, this morning, we thank you. Again, we thank you for your freedom. Lord, I pray for this church, God, that we'd be known as those who walk in this freedom. And God, I pray that as we do, Lord, that you would receive all the glory. So in this church and these people here, God, be glorified in our lives as we walk in your freedom this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. I have a couple of instructions for you here. Again, if you are new, we encourage you to drop those in the boxes as you go by. If you want to come see me after in the back, I can give you some information on CR, Celebrate Recovery, and great program. And as well, if you're new and you want to come see me in the back, I can give you a free book if you're brand new, your first day with us. If you want prayer, I encourage you to come here. I think there will be some people praying. And if you don't want any of that and you just want coffee and cookies, out on this side here, there's some coffee, cookies, and tea, and invite you to join us for that. So may God bless you and have a great, great week. This way till the day I meet Jesus. Change becomes a pipe dream. We resign ourselves to the idea that this is just the way I am. You see, I believe that we have a spiritual enemy. And that spiritual enemy, Satan, wants to keep us in prison. And whatever it is that you struggle with in your life, if he can keep you believing the lie, he will have you exactly where he wants you, a hostage. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. If you don't, it's all right. We have it up on the screen there. But it says this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4. It says, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." The weapons that we fight with have divine power. They have God's power. They are not the same as the kind of weapons that the world uses. These weapons have divine power, God's power, to demolish strongholds. The word that is used here for strongholds is the word okuroma. It's a Greek word which very literally means to fortify, a strong castle, a prisoner locked by deception, a hostage to lies. Let me ask you right now where you sit. What lies might be holding you hostage? Maybe a lie that you will never change. Maybe that God can't really use you. Maybe that you are not good enough. That God couldn't actually love you because of what you've done or how maybe you perceive to have let him down. And we could spend a year, probably the better part of a year here this morning, talking about all the collective lies that we have believed or are believing and sort of dissect each one. We could probably walk through and look at all the truth of the scripture and what God actually says and sort of go through those lies. But today I want to focus just on one lie. A lie that I think is at the root of many of the things that we allow to hold us hostage. A lie that we may not even realize we are believing. And that if we could just deal with this root lie, I believe that we would begin to see some significant change and difference in our lives. And the lie is this: God can't change me. Do you see yourself in that? As much as I try, I can't maybe stop losing my temper. I can't stop losing my temper with my kids or my wife. I just can't. I can't stop taking these pills. I know I used them a long time ago from an accident, but I just can't stop it. I can't stop worrying about my financial future. I can't control the things that come out of my mouth. I can't stop. I've tried to stop. I've made covenants with God that I'm going to change, that I'm going to change, but I can't, and I end up failing. And so what that proves is that I cannot change. Have you ever found yourself in that place or that cycle of failure, guilt, promises? Failure, guilt, promises. and round we go. And eventually we come to the thought that says, this is just the way I am. And maybe you've struggled with something for so long that you've just believed this. This is just the way I am. And if we have, then we've bought the lie. The lie that says God cannot change me. Because if he could, we may reason, wouldn't he have done it already? I mean, if God could just come along and change me, why wouldn't he? We ask ourselves these questions and then we end up coming to the conclusion, well, that's just the way I am, I guess. And the way I will remain until the end of my days. But there are some great problems with this lie, though. You see, because to believe this lie means that we have to reject the Bible's truth. Like Philippians 1:6, it's not on the screen, I just wanted to allude to it today, but which says that he who began a good work in us is going to be faithful to complete it. That you are a work in progress. We have to deny the lie that says God's got a plan and a purpose for my life. One of the verses that you've heard me talk many times about, Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Another translation says that we are God's masterpiece. The word there that is used for masterpiece or handiwork is poema, which kind of goes to like a piece of artwork or a poem. But it's not just a piece of artwork or a poem for art or a poem's sake. There's a purpose to it. There's a reason to it. And you are God's masterpiece. And it's not just because he thought it would be nice. There's a purpose and a reason for your existence. You need to know that. And you need to believe that. Because if we don't believe the truth, there is an enemy waiting to fill your minds with his own ideas, which are not true. The Bible actually calls him the father of lies. And if you are held hostage by this lie today, you need to know something. If you think that you can never change, you need to know this. If you think that I was always this way before I got saved, I will be this way forever, this is just who I am, you need to know something. If you think I can never change and God cannot change me, and you are a child of God, you need to know that he has already changed you. You are changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. The old is gone, done, does not exist anymore. Essentially, you are free, no longer held hostage anymore. He who the Son sets free is free indeed, it says in the book of John. You might look at me and say, you know, I still struggle though. You say I'm free, I don't feel free. And my actions are not the actions of someone who is free. So I'm not so sure about your claim, Marcel. You say I'm changed, my actions say something else. Okay, well, here's the best way I think that I can describe it as I was thinking about this whole thing. In 1862, Abraham Lincoln put something into place called the Emancipation Proclamation. And essentially what it did was say to all the slaves that you are now free. And if you worked in the White House at that time, you worked on this thing, you might leave as that sort of came into play and you said, yeah, the slaves are free. Maybe high-fiving each other as you go out and you go up for dinner to celebrate. It's gone. It's gone through. This is fantastic. And you might think, oh, now we're done. There was a lot of things, though, that just begun as a result of that. The first one that I think is, well, what are the slaves going to do now? A lot of them didn't know how to read or write. They didn't necessarily have skills that they were able to make a living with. And who was going to hire them even if they did? And that was a very physical hurdle that they had to face. They also had to face a mental hurdle. And that is that this is all I've ever known. My father was a slave. I'm a slave. I mean, what am I going to do out there anyway? I'm probably just going to die. Therefore, I will stay here. So some chose that. Some chose to remain as slaves, essentially because they knew no other life. Were they free? Yeah, they were free. They were free men and women, but they put themselves into slavery because that's all they knew. Sometimes because of fear or whatever reason, some of the slaves remained slaves even though they were free. And you and I can do that too. I want you to know something. Christ did not set us free so that we could go back into that life of slavery. Galatians 5:1 says that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go there again. God does not want you to remain in that life. Ephesians 2:10 says that God has a plan for you as we went over. He has a destiny for you. He has designed you with a purpose and a plan. And staying in a hostage situation is not it. And so this morning, if you are a person who is believing that lie now, and the truth is that you are free and a new creation, I need to ask you, how then do we then fight through that lie? Because those slaves that were free had a lot of fighting to do to get through the lies that they probably believed or thought. Or maybe their old masters fed them. They had a lot of things to get through. They were free people, but they had to go through that. And how do we fight through the lie that God cannot change you? How do you fight through the lie that says this is just the way I am and I will never be all that God has destined me to be? Well, this morning I think there are a few things, and I think these things are just the beginning of some a step to begin to hack away at this root. And the first thing is this: capture our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." Now remember, this verse comes directly on the heels of our text. We just had finished reading 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, and now this is 2 Corinthians 10:5. And so this comes right after they're talking about divine power to demolish strongholds. Listen, the truth of this is we are fed things all day long. Some we are aware of and some we are not. Through advertising, TV, radio, people at work, family, teachers, internet, books. We have a constant barrage of things coming at us. Things speaking into our lives. We add into the mix the things that were spoken into our lives and happened in our lives in the past that shape us into the people we are today. And I'll tell you, we got a lot of things to deal with, don't we? We do. And the Bible says that when we're fighting against strongholds in chapter 4, or when we find ourselves a prisoner locked by deception, we start with taking every thought captive. Every thought. Good thought? Yeah, good thought. Why a good thought, you might say? Well, sometimes there are good thoughts, but they're in the wrong timing, right? Godly thoughts, yes. Bad thoughts, yes. Every thought. Nothing gets by. We allow nothing to settle into the recesses of our minds or our hearts until something happens. We dare make them obedient to Christ. So we get a lie that's spoken into our heads that God cannot change me, that I will never be free of that, that things will never change. And we take it captive. And then we line it up with Scripture. What does Scripture say? What does the truth of Christ say? Well, as we talked about already, God has a plan for me. Scripture said that God is working on me. Now I have to make a choice. What do I do with that? Do I reject the lie? And I think almost as equally important as rejecting the lie is absorbing the truth. And so we take captive the lie and we accept Christ's truth. We're going to try this real quick. You don't have to get up. But I want you to right now, whatever you're thinking, whatever it is, take the thought captive. Doesn't matter. Maybe it's, you know, when is this guy going to stop talking? Or this guy's boring. Oh, my goodness. Maybe it's what you're going to make for dinner this week. How am I going to help my kids finish their science projects? That's maybe where I'd be if I was where you are now, thinking about these things. I don't know what your thought is right now, but take it captive right now. Just take it captive. And I want you to submit it to the truth. Let's say you're thinking about dinner or your menu this week. But God's wanted to talk to you about something really important from his word. And the enemy wants to distract you. And so you take that thought captive and you submit it to the truth. You see, thinking about your menu, that's a good thought. It's a good thing, you know, especially if you have a family. You got to prepare. You know what happens if you don't prepare? It becomes chaos in your house. Chaotic in your house means snappy parents. Snappy parents mean unhappy children. Then the thing goes on and on, right? So it's a good thought, but the timing is not right. And maybe God wants to speak to you now. God wants to speak to me. So I'm going to throw out the thought of my mind and focus right now on God's word. Because maybe I'm stuck in a place right now in my life and the enemy is just coming in and trying to distract me. Now the other thing about this is that we have to know God's word, God's truth, to be able to do this. So I want to really encourage you to get into God's word. You need to know his word to know the truth. Think about it. If we have no truth coming into us all week long, and we have constant lies and distractions coming into our life, how are we going to fight through the lies of the enemy with truth? We can't. What truths of Christ can you line up to your captive thoughts? Oh, we take the thought captive. Now what? Oh, I don't know. So we just got a bunch of captive thoughts in our minds now, and we don't really know what to do with them. So we take our thoughts captive. Then what? We need to know the truth. I want to challenge you this morning to get on some reading plan, something where you're ingesting the word of God, the truth of Christ, the truth of Scripture into your lives and into your heart. And if you don't know of any type of program, I'll give you one if you want. I've got some. But, you know, Owen, he's talked about some before. He called it doing your tens. If you've been here for a while, you've heard of that probably. But 10 minutes in the Word, if you're a new Christian, maybe just starting, I say jump on the book of John and just read for 10 minutes a day. Make a little mark, pick it up the next day. Keep doing that. You'll be amazed. Sound like an infomercial, right? Just 10 minutes a day. Exercise. But in a lot of ways, yeah, you will see 10 minutes reading the Scripture, 10 minutes of praying to God and laying your heart before God. And allowing him to speak to you. And 10 minutes of doing a bit of journaling and saying, just journaling your thoughts. You will be amazed at what begins to happen. You know, the enemy doesn't come and just sort of give you one giant lie. I'm the devil, worship me. And we just say, no. You know, that would be that, right? It's little lies that come in. It's little consistent over time. Consistency over time is an amazing thing. You put the word of God consistently over time into your life, you will be amazed at what you see. Don't make your goals unrealistic. I'm going to read an hour and a half every day. Usually we just end up failing, getting discouraged and stopping. The most important thing is make it consistent. All right, we're going to move on. Number two, speak truth. Now notice I didn't say that we're going to think about truth, even though that is important, even as we talked a bit about that in our last point. But we need to speak the truth. Our words have more power than we realize. Actually, look at Proverbs 18:21. It says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit." That's really extreme language. The things that come out of my mouth have the power of life and death, and you will eat the fruit of either one. I think all too often we speak our way to our own defeat. I will always, I can't, I'll never. And in speaking things that go against the truth, we give power to a lie. And giving power to a lie leads to a life of bondage, imprisonment to a lie. And so as we capture the thoughts, it's important to speak the truth into them. But again, you need to know the truth. And if you're humming along, you've got a great plan that you're reading the Bible, you're putting God's word into your life every day, I challenge you to take it to the next step. Start memorizing some scripture. Memorizing the truth and speaking it out. A lot of times I have to speak things out. It helps me a lot, the truth of scripture. Because sometimes I can get afraid. Sometimes fear has this funny way of sort of gripping you. I can get afraid of what's going to happen to my family or what's going to happen to this. You know, a lot of things, nothing happens at all, right? But fear is not always logical. And so sometimes fear can really grip me. And so I go back to the scripture, the God, I say out loud, you have not given me a spirit of fear. You haven't. And I say it again. I say, God, you have not given me a spirit of fear. You have not given me a spirit of fear. And I won't let that hold me. I won't let that dictate my life. I won't be afraid of that. You know, public speaking was one of my biggest fears growing up. I could have just laid down and died if you would ask me to do that. Actually, I would have rather laid down and died. But at the same time, I felt God leading me in his direction. And I could have let my fear, what I thought about myself, what I thought about my ability to dictate what I did. But I needed to speak the truth in my own life about who I really was. And there are times when I still need to do that. I need to do that often. And a lot of times you will not feel like the truth is truth, but it still needs to be spoken. Like, let's say you struggle with alcohol, and you promise God a million times that you would never get drunk again. And you do. And you don't feel like you deserve to be forgiven or loved. But the truth is, you are loved. The truth is, God has already forgiven you. And you need to speak those out. You need to speak out, I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. There is something so powerful about verbalizing the truth, especially when you're at a place in your life when you don't feel like those things are true. Because I tell you, your enemy wants to hold you hostage. He really does. But there is great power in the spoken word. And it's not just one time every day I'll get up and say one little thing and that'll be it. It's speaking the truth into our life. And I'm not talking about just speaking something into existence like, you know, ladies, my husband looks like Brad Pitt. My husband looks like Brad Pitt. Oh, it didn't work. Well, maybe in your case. My case. No, kidding. Okay, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about speaking out day after day, verbalizing your agreement with God. And after time, you will begin to see what God sees. Day after day, you speak truth, and you will give power to truth. You speak lie, you give power to lie. Speak truth, we give power to truth. And I guarantee you will begin to see change. And it may not be right away, which brings me to my next point and last point this morning. Don't give up. I was listening to a guy talk about this very thing last week, about this idea of not giving up. And I think in our world, at least in our Western world, we have no idea what it means to fight through things like this. We want results so quickly. Everything is so fast. We need immediate results. I just got rid of my cell phone 3 months ago. My wife kind of rolls her eyes at me. Because my cell phone, it was getting slow. Therefore, I needed another one because I had to wait an extra 3 seconds for it to load a program, right? So, I mean, this phone was light years beyond the phone I had before that. But my culture, the way I live, the way things are, everything is so instant. I need instant gratification right away, instant always. And so this idea of fighting through something can be kind of foreign to us, some of us. But battling through this, it's not always quick. It takes time. It takes what the Bible calls perseverance. You see, often we have believed the lie for a long time. More often than not, he doesn't come in and just sort of snap his fingers and everything's great. And I think the reason he doesn't come in and just snap his fingers and make everything great is really because of what we get out of walking through these battles. So much more valuable than just an instant touch. Oh, an instant touch would be a lot easier. But as we walk through these battles, we get to know the character of God. We get to know the love of God. We get to know the mercy and grace of God, the forgiveness of God. We get to know God's character. We learn to trust him. We learn how he sees us. It's so powerful. When we receive that instant touch, which is great, and I pray that some, you know, we can get that at times. But if you have to walk through that battle, what you'll get out of it is an amazing thing. In Colossians 1:29-1, Paul is talking to the church there, and he says, "To this end I labor, struggling with all his energy." Listen, it's not our energy we're going to walk through this thing. It's not your willpower that you're going to try and make this thing happen. If I just grit my teeth and bear it enough. Paul says it's with all of his energy, God's energy, which so powerfully works in me. I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those at Laodicea and for all you who have not met me personally. And he struggles for them. The word that they use here for struggling is a Greek word that we get our root word agonize from. But it's not just a struggle for struggling's sake. It comes with sort of an intention that we struggle with a purpose. There's a purpose behind this struggle. To agonize is to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary and win. Make no mistake, this is not an easy process. It takes determination to look to what God really says, especially when we do not feel like it. Our emotions go up and down, sometimes depending on what's going on in the day, what we've encountered, the weather, our sleep. There's so many things that play with our emotions and what we feel. The truth of Scripture is still truth. And we need to align ourselves and agree with it and speak out the truth of God in our lives. Unfortunately, many of us get taken hostage by the lie of the enemy that this is who you are and God cannot change you. The truth is God has already changed you. But the father of lies still tries to hold you captive, still tries to hold you hostage. So this morning, take captive every thought. Make it obedient to Christ. The lies that he tries to pour into your life about your self-worth, about your identity, take them captive. Take them hostage. Then continue to speak truth. Agree with God out loud with his truth. You speak lie, give power to a lie. Speak truth, give power to truth. And don't give up. Keep going. And the relationship that you will have with the Lord when you come through to victory will be worth every trial, every agonizing struggle. So where do we go from here? If you're a person that is really trying to deal with this, I really want to encourage you to consider a program that we have at our church called Celebrate Recovery. And I know a lot of us might think that it's just maybe about drugs and alcohol, but it's about everything in our lives like that, that we just struggle with these lies sometimes. And we've struggled with them for a long time. And this is a great place with people that will love you and help you walk through fighting and battling this lie in your life. And some of the effects that the lies we have believed have taken in our lives. And maybe though, this morning you're at a place where you don't even know the one that can set you free. I want you to know that he wants you to know him. He knows you really well. He wants you to know him. And I'd love to introduce you to him. And I know one of the prayer people that will be here after the service would love to as well. And if you would like to know more about that, I'd love to share with you about that. But maybe you're at a place where you say, you know, I want that right now. I want to know this Jesus. I want to be introduced to Jesus. And I want to pray with you right now about that. And if you want that, just pray this prayer with me. And that begins, it's like a starting point. It's kind of like the gun going off in a race and we're starting and it's a wonderful thing. And then I want to pray also for those of you that are believers that maybe you have been believing this lie. That God can't change me. That this is just the way I am. And I want to pray that you would know the freedom that Christ has given you. Let's pray. This prayer this morning, the first is just for those of you don't know Jesus and you want to know him. Father, I heard this morning that when you set people free, we're free. And Father, you died on a cross for my freedom. That Satan would no longer have a hold on me. And so this morning, I want to accept your sacrifice, your payment for my freedom. And I do that now. And I thank you. And Lord, now as leader of my life, as savior of my life, would you direct me? Lord, may I not run in any direction, but only towards you. Keep my path straight, Lord, as I begin this race. Direct me to people who would encourage me, my faith, and help me to grow in ways so I could know you more deeply. So, Lord, I thank you for your sacrifice, and I thank you for your salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, I come to you too on behalf of this church. And God, I thank you for this church. They're good brothers and sisters here. Lord Jesus, you said in your word that as we had said, prayed and talked, Lord, already, that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, no longer to be bound by this yoke of slavery anymore. And so, God, I thank you for the freedom that you paid that we could have. And God, my prayer for each person in this church is that we would be able to walk in this freedom that you have paid for us, God. Lord, that we would no longer be held captive or held hostage by the lies of the enemy. God, we acknowledge that there is a real live enemy that wants to hold us hostage. And God, this week, by your power, Lord Jesus, we will step out. We will take our thoughts captive. We will submit them to the truth of Christ. We will speak the truth of God into our lives. And not by our own power, but by yours, we will not give up. We will put one foot in front of the other, and we will continue to look to you, God, the author and the perfecter of our faith. So God, this morning, we thank you. Again, we thank you for your freedom. Lord, I pray for this church. God, that we'd be known as those who walk in this freedom. And God, I pray that as we do, Lord, that you would receive all the glory. So in this church and these people here, God, be glorified in our lives as we walk in your freedom this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you. I have a couple of instructions for you here. Again, if you are new, we encourage you to drop those in the boxes as you go by. If you want to come see me after in the back, I can give you some information on CR, Celebrate Recovery, and great program. And as well, if you're new and you want to come see me in the back, I can give you a free book if you're brand new, your first day with us. If you want prayer, I encourage you to come here. I think there will be some people praying. And if you don't want any of that and you just want coffee and cookies, out on this side here, there's some coffee, cookies, and tea, and invite you to join us for that. So may God bless you and have a great, great week.